The Sunday Show with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. This evening, we are focusing on Connemara, an iconic and beautiful part of Ireland, nestled, of course, on the World Atlantic Way. And I'm delighted to be joined by Henry Hodson at Riva House. Henry, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the programme.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you for having me.
Now, Connemara, Henry, I suppose, is a place that kind of eschews like romantic notions of Ireland, the biggest Gaeltacht in Ireland, the burn, beautiful plants, savage beauty. Am I getting all that right?
You are. Savage beauty, I think, is the angle we would come to it from. And that has been its huge advantage for since tourism really started in the area in the early 1830s. It's the wilds of Ireland. And still to this day, it doesn't matter how many times you drive from where we are just west of Galway, in a place called Uachtaráid, out the Clifton Road, out the N59. I've done it 200, 300 times and it's my breath away. And I love talking to international guests, guests from all over the country who are seeing it for the first time and they come back and they're blown away by the scenery. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, still untouched and not greatly changed. Hasn't been ruined too much either.
Which is wonderful, absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the beautiful things about parts of Ireland like that, that it's timeless, isn't it?
It looks the same as it looked generations and generations ago.
You're running Ireland's longest running hotel, and I know you can prove that, right?
I can. There's been a few arguments.
Before we go into all that, right? Just tell us a little bit about your own background, because you've a fabulous, illustrious career in the hospitality business.
Well, I don't know. It's certainly slightly varied, but I grew up, of course, in the family business, which, as you say, is a long-running hotel in the west of Ireland. I went to Cahill Burragh Street here in Dublin, studied there for 4 years. And while I was there, I started to work with an amazing man called Jim Murphy, who is now managing director of a company called Prem Group, who would be one of the bigger hotel operators in Ireland. When I started, we worked in one hotel on Leeson Street called Stephen's Hall, 37. It was an all-suite hotel, which in those days was a unique concept. And then I stayed there over about 5 years, I'd say, between finishing college, took a few twists and turns, but we ended up going into the hotel business in a big way. And serviced offices, service departments, this is all kind of pre-Airbnb. And that was it. So that was my main experience before heading back to Connemara and back to take over the reins of our country house in Uachtaráid.
And it is an amazing, to say Ireland's longest running hotel, that is quite fascinating.
It's quite fascinating. Now, I have to slightly say that it's Ireland's longest running hotel in the same ownership. So I'm sure there's many hotels, there'll be many kind of great southern, whatever they're called these days, but the kind of train terminus hotels.
But that in itself is amazing.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Next year, we will be celebrating 125 years in continuous operation, continuous ownership. The longest we were ever closed was during COVID, of course, 3 years ago. It's been on the market about 3 times, as far as we know. It's been through world wars, civil wars, tumultuous times in Connemara, recessions, global recessions, local recessions, everything else. And it is the most beautiful property. It's hidden away. It's 6 kilometers outside Uachtaráid on a little boreen that goes nowhere, back to a place called the Hill of Doon on the western shores of Lough Corrib. It's like a different world. And I think that's what keeps it going. We can pretend we're brilliant at what we do. We can pretend we provide an amazing service, but really there's something special about the area.
Now, 7 generations, you were
saying. 7 generations, yeah.
It's incredible.
So it was my grandfather, by 7 generations, bought the property originally from the O'Flahertys. He was a miner and he was based in Arklow here in Wicklow, mining copper. Didn't do particularly well as far as we know. And he came out to the west of Ireland prospecting. This is the kind of late 1700s, mid to late 1700s. And in those days, of course, there was nothing happening anywhere in Ireland, but mining was boomtown. It was like a gold rush in the Midwest of the US. There was mines every couple of miles, all from Donegal right down to Cork. And my grandfather went out there and he discovered tin and copper in what we would call Joyce country now, which is kind of the area up between Clonbur, the north of Lough Corrib, down to Mam Bridge, up into Leenane, that kind of area. And he bought then the original house, not the house we have now, from the O'Flahertys, who were the main clan of Connemara in those days. They owned the whole area. Their kind of barony was Ballinahinch Castle, as it is now. And so they bought the original house, which was fairly modest. It was a brick house, which in those days was a good house, but it was the size of our current drawing room, let's say. And they built up a big business. He was a very clever man and bought a number of prospecting rights from the O'Flahertys and built up a big business over about two generations. And that's how they made their money.
I was looking up the history there as well. It was expanded then, as you were saying there, sort of after the famine times.
They did very well. And in those days, mining was a huge business. They were shipping the ore, mainly tin, copper, a small bit of lead, on the Corrib. They had two steamers in those days. That the main mode of transport to get around that area of kind of East Connemara would have been by steamer on the lake. And they had two steamers called the Lioness and the Tigress. There was 12 steamers on the Corrib altogether. And they would fill up with ore up in the hills, up there in Man Bridge, if people know that neck of the woods, over in Clonbur and so on. And even over in Cong, beside Ashford Castle there was a big steamer quay there. And then bring all the ore down to Galway through the canal, through the Eglinton Canal, onto the ships there in Galway Port, which in those days was a big trading post, and ship it. They used to ship most of theirs over to Europe. Funny enough, it was easier to get to, I guess. So down to France, north of Spain, up into Holland, that kind of area. And it was a big business, you know. If you had mining going, if you were prospecting well, you could make a lot of money. And there was a big employment. It was the only employment in town. So they did very well. Say, then they built a bigger house, because that's what you do when you're doing well. They built a bigger house in 1842. And then, of course, everything went completely pear-shaped and completely wrong. So you had the famine then started to kick in, which around us was particularly bad, as it was everywhere. But around Connemara, it was really, really quite terrible, devastating. And then Spain, South America, the economies of scale went out of the whole business. And that was it. So they had this big house, which they built. It's a beautiful house, but they never really got to live in it like they intended to. No sooner had they built the house than the business started going downhill. So they had to think up other businesses.
I love the piece there when I was reading about the hotel as well. You have a brochure dating from 1900, directions from Euston, London to Oughterard by train, 14 hours.
That's correct, yeah.
That's so brilliant.
It's not much slower than it would be today. If you were standing in the middle of London to get to us, it's a good 10 hours by the time you get out to the airport and go through security and get to the other side and get your car hired and get through traffic in Galway City. It can take about 10 hours.
So you had a lot of Victorians coming over for hunting and fishing and stuff.
In those days, the way it worked, it would have been almost completely international, mainly British business, a certain amount of Anglo-Irish business from Dublin, of course, in those days. But in those days, it was sold through travel agents who you would have found on the main streets of Dublin, London, all the big towns in England. And you had to go and you put your brochures on their mantelpieces. And people went in, they booked their week or 2 weeks. And it was 1 week or 2 weeks. It was none of this one night stays. And it was a fully inclusive package, included everything from your train journey across. There was an overnight sleeper. And then in those days, of course, the train line ran from Galway out to Clifton. And they were met at the train in Uachtarard, the train station there in Uachtarard, which no longer exists, of course, taken out by horse and carriage, and then stayed for their week or 2 weeks, fully inclusive, breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea, morning coffee, evening coffee, all the rest of it, wine. And that's how it worked. And it was a fairly short season, but it was short and sharp.
So it actually, at the moment, the way we're living this very stressful world, Henry, that is sounding very attractive to me at the moment.
The thing to remember is going to Connemara in those days was going to the ends of the earth. It was going to the wilds, like the way we look at these amazing National Geographic brochures of amazing places in South Africa.
Patagonia
and
stuff. It was
a long way away. Mm. It wasn't without its difficulties. There was easier places to get to, but it was unique. And of course, in those days, their main attraction was fishing on Loch Corrib and also a lot of shooting in the area as well. So it was basically a sporting holiday and it worked very well. It certainly wasn't a cheap holiday. Someone worked out the rate for me recently, which is in the back of that brochure. And it worked out at about 5,500 euros per person per week.
Wow.
In today's spending.
That would have been kind of Orient Express.
I regret to say we haven't kept pace with that.
Brilliant.
Even now, at today's prices.
And then in the 70s, your parents took over then.
So it went very well until the Civil War in the 1920s, when for some reason the English and indeed Anglo-Irish weren't quite so keen to come on their shooting holidays to the west of Ireland, because they suddenly became the target, I suppose. So the place on the market then flooded the 20s and 30s, and then they thought they'd sold it actually at one stage in the 30s, but they cleared out of the house, but they had to move back in again when the sale fell through. And then, funny enough, it was the Second World War that revived the fortunes to a certain extent, because the rationing in Ireland was nowhere near as bad as it was in Britain, England, until towards the end of the war. And of course, a lot of these people could come over and they could eat, drink and be merry without being seen to be going against the war-torn, we're all in it together,
of course, yeah,
Britain type of thing. So that went very well, and or certainly revived the fortunes of tourism in the west of Ireland. And yes, and then so that was would have been my grandparents at that stage. And then my grandfather died then quite suddenly in 1970, and my parents took it on. My father at the time was out in West Africa on a tea plantation and had no real intention of coming back, I don't think, but he was told to come back straight away with his very new bride, my mum, June, and they took it on and they ran it extremely well and made it into a proper professional business at that stage then, so...
Very interesting. I love, there's some sort of interesting things that happened over the years. I'd love to chat to you about the Rod License Wars, filming the guard as well. The Rod License Wars
kind of sticks out, because when my parents took it on, it was still primarily fishing. It would have been 65-70% business would have been fishing. It was a fishing hotel, fishing lodge, if you like. And that was how they made their money. And then a very niche topic, but the government at the time tried to bring in a rod license for fishing on the publicly owned lakes in Ireland. And of course, that didn't go down at all well with everyone who was used to fishing on them for free and used to it being their God-given right and the right they had fought for. And so boycotts were set up all over Ireland for 2 years. No one was allowed on the lakes. And of course, that devastated their business. And it's just an example of...
That was kind of the late 80s, wasn't it?
That was 88, 89. Yeah. And again, it's like these things when you have such a history of a house going through ups and downs, you never know what's coming next. Like COVID, for example, from a tourism point of view, of course, with the rod license, there was no support. So you were on your own and you had to pivot, and they had to phone up all the guests and say, look, you can still come, but you can't fish. And thankfully, a lot of them still did come, because they would have been regulars. And in those days, there was a lot more regular business than there would be now. The choice was, I guess, was if you found it, you liked it, and you stayed there for a week or 2 weeks, and that was it.
Yeah. And now, I saw there as well that, of course, jetting has become quite a big thing around Ireland. Yes. I mean, you know, we all know the Quiet Man. People are still going to Kong. And,
it's,
you know,
unbelievable.
But one of my favourite movies... Did a lot of filming over in your place as well.
I did, The Guard. That was great fun. We've done a few things over the years, but The Guard was particularly memorable. They're obviously a wonderful crew and people. I think they had a 3 or 4 week filming slot, and they'd rent the house for a week, and this is in November, and of course it lashed. It rained all this July, never mind November.
Oh yeah, everywhere.
You know, it happens all the time, but so they had to quickly rearrange shooting schedules and pimp up what was a fairly traditional Irish country house to make it look like various other scenes they had to try and shoot. But it's good fun having that type of thing. It doesn't happen so much these days, I believe, because of union rules or something. But
things have changed.
Lots of these different things going on.
I like the way as well, the hotel, of course. I use the word hotel, but how would you describe it now these days?
It's always tricky. Well, we definitely wouldn't describe it as a hotel. And I don't like the word guest house, because that kind of gives connotations of a crumbly old place in some outer suburb in the UK or something. So I'm always a bit stuck. I like the word country house, but that's not really a technical term.
I think it does describe a lot. I know you're in the Blue Book, and the Blue Book is celebrating.
Yeah, but sometimes people in the country house, they might think you're not professional. I mean, our main business is food. My wife Lucy, of course, who owns and runs it as well, is an incredible, incredible chef. Trained in London, worked all over the world, and that's really what's kept us going the last 10 or 15 years. And it's the main reason people come to us now. So what we provide is a little unusual. We recently, Georgina Campbell gave us a Hideaway of the Year award. And I think that described it quite well, because people come out for 2 or 3 days and they don't leave. So you arrive in time for your afternoon tea, which we have every day, a big spread. And there's no reason to leave. We've everything on site. it's an escape. We do obviously have Wi-Fi and all the rest of it, but many people choose just
an evil necessity of the these days.
We don't have televisions. Yeah. We do have a library which has a television and has everything in it. If you want to watch it,
if you have Wi-Fi and a laptop, you don't need a TV, Henry.
But I would also say that if you're coming away to watch television, then you're coming to the wrong place.
Of course, absolutely.
I think it's
it sounds amazing.
It became a factor, you know, when the tourist board got very fussy about these things, about 15, 20 years ago. And to retain a kind of 4-star status, you had to have a television. And, you know, we were like, well, we don't want televisions. We don't provide. Look where we are. Look at this incredible view.
Yeah.
Why are you going to watch RTE?
Absolutely. I think that is actually an attraction. I mean, you know, a digital detox, in a way, or a television detox.
The other side of it is, of course, that none of us can get away for longer than 4 hours without checking our phones, because everyone expects you to be answering emails within an hour of getting it.
Yeah.
No matter what time of the day or day of the week it is. But I think it's nice to have a different focus if you can.
No, absolutely. And you your numbers in terms of rooms size. Yeah. What size is?
Well, we've only got 9 rooms.
Yeah.
So we've basically got kind of 7 standard rooms and then 2 smaller rooms. So we've reduced the size quite a lot over the last few years as we've tried to keep the house updated. We've just found it makes more sense to, if you're trying to encourage people to stay on a full kind of package basis, to have better bedrooms, slightly bigger bedrooms than they would have had originally, more space and less people around the house. And that makes it a much more comfortable experience, particularly we found that during COVID.
So, Henry, how did you become members of the Blue Book?
Well, Ed, we had to find a back route in. So we actually started the Blue Book.
Wow.
My parents were one of the original members that met in a place called Longfield House, which I think was in Tipperary.
Yes, very famous place.
Was it? Okay, yeah. In desperation in the 14th of October, 1974, when there was a number of properties of similar ilk, no doubt similar big crumbling houses that needed to be filled and kept warm in the winter by having paying guests. And so they started the Blue Book. In those days, it was the Irish Country Houses and Restaurants Association. And they met, I think there was 14 or 16 original people invited to their first meeting. And that's when it all started. So we've technically never joined the Blue Book because we started it.
Oh, well,
so we've technically never passed the criteria to be a member.
And I believe you have the original Blue Book brochure, right?
Well, I have a brochure from us from 1900. So 1974 is relatively new. Yeah, I have the original brochure. I have a couple of copies of that. I have the original minutes from the original meeting, which was chaired by Myrtle Allen.
Yeah, because I mean, the story of Myrtle's father, I think she had to open rooms in order to get a license to sell alcohol. That was the story from Ballymaloe in those days.
Yeah.
So that's how she ended up.
These stories are always very impressive, but like we have a license that predated 1900. Mm. So our license in those days was called a hatch license, and it's still the same now. The license has obviously changed. We've got a full license, I hasten to add. Our bar is actually a hatch because in those days you had to be able to pull a hatch across the front of the bar and hide the alcohol because you weren't allowed to see the alcohol outside of service hours. And obviously, if you couldn't see it, then you weren't tempted to have any because life was clearly much simpler in those days. So yeah, so our license goes a long way back.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. And I'm delighted to be joined now by Brian McEvely from Cashel House Hotel. Brian, how are you doing?
Hello. It's lovely to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And of course, you are another famous hotel going way back into the annals of Irish history and in a beautiful part of the world.
We are indeed. We're based in Cashel in Connemara. It's right by the Wild Atlantic Way. We're on the Wild Atlantic route as well. So we're just about an hour's drive out from Galway City, right on the Atlantic coast.
To give people an idea, this is a generations old business, Brian, isn't it?
Yeah, we're a family run business. My parents bought the house in 1967 and opened it up in 1968. And they were very fortunate that in 1969, General de Gaulle came and stayed and really put Cashel and Connemara on the map. I joined into the business as all the family members did. I have an older brother and a younger sister all involved in the business growing up. And when my mother passed away in 2018, myself and my sister stayed on, took over the business and the running of the property. But my wife has worked in the hotel. My two daughters also work in the hotel. And my grandmother, God love her, she was in the garden and she used to run the reception in the morning. So very much a family affair.
Amazing. And when President de Gaulle came over, I mean, that must have been, in 1969, that must have been an incredible, how did that come about?
Purely by accident, really. There was no plan for it. He was staying down in Sneem and he was hounded by the press because they got wind of his coming. And he was supposed to stay there for 2 weeks, but after a few days, he left. And we had just opened, or my parents had just opened the hotel, and it was relatively unknown. So somebody on board Falch decided to try and book the hotel. And as it turned out, we just cancelled a few guests and we got him in. And he was supposed to stay for a week, and he stayed for almost 2 weeks. And he would have stayed for the full 2 weeks, but we had a wedding booked. And it was for the peace, tranquility, like walking on the beaches. And again, he had the privacy. The press couldn't come near him because it was two access roads and they just put a car on either end. So he had the whole village to himself. So it definitely put the hotel on the map, and it gave us a great French following as well, because the French, ever since and even up to this year, we have a huge following from France that follows the same footsteps as General de Gaulle.
It's amazing, isn't it, when something like that, like that's like the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. And my parents were very adamant that they would never advertise the fact that he was there. They'd never promote it. They'd never do anything off the back of the stay that he was there. He was such a lovely man, and we've gained so much support from the French media. Channel 5 recently did a big article on the hotel, as did Tina G. And thankfully, we've had a very loyal following from France and from mainland Europe as well because of him.
I've heard that your food is amazing, and the French wouldn't suffer fools gladly when it comes to food either. So you must be doing something great. I know you were saying that Lucy and the family are really good with food. And I saw there as well that your grandmother was a gardener there and a receptionist. I mean, I love that whole wonderful sort of story of everybody hands-on doing everything.
And it's very much still the very old style of doing things. I'm not keen in the garden myself. I'm afraid I don't have the green fingers that my mother and my grandmother had, but it's still the organic way of doing things. You'd use the seaweed from the shores for fertilizer, and you would plant different herbs in amongst your flowers to keep away aphids and green fly, that sort of thing. So we've always stayed away from kind of chemical use or anything like that, and we use herbs and some vegetables from the garden for the hotel as well.
Yeah, I sometimes think that it's people from overseas know more about Ireland than we do ourselves, in fact, because Connemara is a place, I suppose, that I know a little bit about and I've done a little travels there, but you're really whetting my appetite this evening when you're talking about it. Now, you have a very famous manager as well that I've heard about, Ray, who's been there for quite the while. Brian.
Oh, Ray, he's fantastic. He's been with us, well, he'll be 45 years next year. And he is the keystone or the cornerstone to the business. He's built up a team for many, many years. Ray's been with us from when he left Catering College and he came out to Galway. And he's been managing and running the hotel for, as I say, nearly 45 years now. He's part of the fabric of the hotel. All of the guests that come to the hotel, he has a fantastic memory, almost like a photographic memory. He will meet somebody and as he's speaking to them, he'll remember, oh, you liked the Australian red and you sat on table three, and he will ask, you know, how was the dog you had, or a dog say with you the last time you were here, and people are blown away by the things that he can recall, and that's just a gift that he has. But he also has a fantastic team. The chef has been with us for over 20 years and their two daughters run the dining
room. Yes, I've heard about Chef Arthur. Yeah, King Arthur.
Yeah. And my father was Cordon Bleu trained, and my mother and my father would have trained up the team that's there, and we're just so blessed to have such an experienced team with us for so many years. And it's the extension to the family of the business. It's not just the fact that ourselves have taken over the business and started running it from when my mother passed away, but it's also the team that have been there, most of them for well over 10, 15 years, and they take ownership on each department. So Arthur runs the kitchen team and his daughters run the dining room, and Ray looks over the whole team.
And it's very interesting, we were chatting in part one there to Henry from Corariva, and just how you guys came together in those years and of course founded, as we were talking about, the Blue Book. And it was kind of like referring people. You were all sort of like-minded and sort of all doing something similar, weren't you?
Yeah, correct. And I suppose back in those days, there wouldn't have been as many hotels or as many places to choose from. And what we found was the same guests that were coming to the hotel kept mentioning the same properties they'd stayed in previously. And, you didn't have a phone system or a communication system like you have now. So people booked for longer and they would have asked you to check on their next reservation. So you got talking to the other hotels when you were making reservations. So you got to have a connection with them. And then it was Bord Fáilte who, I believe, came up to the team and said, you guys should get together and start marketing yourself abroad and pool your resources. And that was really like-minded properties who had a fantastic venue, fantastic property, and specialised in gourmet food. And that was kind of where it started.
Yeah, amazing. And then, of course, you have some amazing original documents that you were showing me as well, like of original minutes and menus and, I suppose, a blue book property, isn't it? It's like you're steeped in history, good food. It's as you said about Ray there, it's very difficult to describe it.
Nowadays, they're calling it the experience, where hotels need to offer an experience. So when people come, they now expect to have a very good bedroom. They expect to have high quality service. But the experience is something where you give somebody a memory, a fond memory that they take with them when they leave, be it a fantastic meal or, but it transcends that in the country house. And it's not just the family business hotels, it's the restaurants and businesses. It's the experience you get, that you're looked after, that you're appreciated when you come in, that you will have something to take with you. And from our point of view, and from a lot of the Blue Book property, the repeat clients that you get that builds. And we're 60% repeat clients that come to the hotel, but being in business for nearly 55 years, you don't take that for granted until you get out and you find and you speak to other hoteliers who are only in business, 5, 7, 10 years. And you have to do something right to get people to come back time and time again, year after year. And it's that personal touch and then the expertise that you get from those family businesses, I believe, that ensures that your business continues.
No, absolutely. As the amount of people that have said nice things to me, like they know their drink, they knew what room they like, the car, just small little things that just actually makes such a huge difference.
And it goes even further than that. COVID was a time that brought back home to most businesses, or to all businesses. It wasn't even just the fact that we were so appreciative to our clients and our repeat clients who came back to us. We needed to have that business during that time. But our suppliers looked after us as well. The people who supply us our seafood, who come and make the deliveries, everything was up in the air during COVID. They didn't know whether or not they were going to be able to make the same deliveries, whether they'll come. People were coming, making extra trips, extra journeys to get to the different places. So we very much rely on the team behind the scenes as well.
Teamwork makes the dream work, right?
Exactly.
The slogan. Brian, just to give people an idea, the size of the hotel, room-wise, what they can do and enjoy when they go there.
Well, we're very much a small hotel. We've 29 bedrooms and we're, as I say, we're based right on the West Coast. So a lot of people will come out to us of all ages and they'll stay in the hotel to tour Connemara. We're in the heart of Connemara, so you can easily get to the Aran Islands, Inishbofin. You've access into Clifton and Dogs Bay, Gertrude Beach. Speaking of dogs, we're pet friendly, and after COVID again, we've noticed a huge increase in the number of people who are now travelling with their pets, and we have extended our accommodation from 25% of our rooms to 50% of the rooms to accommodate people who are now travelling with their pets. But you've great facilities like Kylemore Abbey, and they've done great investment up in Kylemore Abbey and into the gardens and the house as well. And then you've got Killary and the fjords. It's a huge scenic area. And every age group from the 30s right up into the 80s, they're all now outdoorsies and they're all taking hill climbing, walking, and we have all of that, as well as the more traditional cycling, horse riding, fishing, that sort of thing.
Of course, Connemara is a place that kind of, when you think about it, for me, it's a beautiful, romantic part of the country. And again, like savage beauty, I was saying earlier, but it really is kind of the quintessential Ireland in a way, isn't it? I know it has the biggest Gaeltacht there. So it's almost a unique experience in a way, isn't it, really, Brian?
It is. You're only a stone's throw away from the Gaeltacht, and you can go down. And in the halls, you'll have, for example, if you go into Roundstone, they'll have music on. You'll have the traditional Irish dancing. You'll also have the Shannos dancing, Shannos singers. And it's still the case that when you go from pub to pub in Clifton, for example, there'll be different music on in different places. And that's been like that for years, since when I was a child. You could go in and you could experience different forms of music or traditional music. And if you travel down along the Gaeltacht there and you pull up and you stop and you ask for directions, you'll get a long conversation rather than just point it in the direction you need to go. And that's just the Connemara and the Irish way.
Well, Brian, lovely chatting to you. Focusing this evening on Connemara in the west of Ireland. I'm joined by Brian and Henry, who we spoke to earlier. Guys, huge challenge, I guess, running these beautiful family-run hotels these days.
Certainly in our case, yeah, you never know what's around the corner. And I don't think it's getting any easier. We both, this is Lucy, my wife, and I, we both love what we do. We're very lucky. We have a beautiful property in a beautiful part of the world, which is very popular. But I think like us all in small businesses, it gets harder every year.
After COVID, I suppose, things just seem to have gone like solar power rockets. Everything has kind of gone back with a bang, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been extremely busy. And thankfully, we're delighted to see an awful lot of our repeat clients coming back to us after COVID as well. But yeah, you're kind of doing more with less and things are still building up. Trying to source different materials for bedrooms, trying to source certain supplies and all that has always been a little bit more difficult now since you've come after COVID. But thankfully, the business is there. People are coming west. And I think because of COVID, more people are now leaving the cities and built up areas and they're exploring Connemara and the Wild Atlantic Way as well. And it just means that there's a lot more business to be had. And we're quite thankful for it.
No, absolutely. When talking to you guys this evening, what really comes across to me is how beautifully remote and get away from it all your properties are in terms of like really forgetting all about an escape, if you like.
That's certainly how we set ourselves, both in our immediate location on the shores of Loch Corrib. Loch Corrib is a pristine lake, not built up at all. 365 islands, the biggest lake in the Republic of Ireland. And you stand on our front lawn and you can't see anything except for the lake and except for the woods surrounding it and the islands in the middle and Inchigill and these incredible places. And I think perhaps people need to switch off a bit more and need to find these little corners, which still do exist. We haven't developed it. We haven't added on 150 bedrooms out the back and 10 golf courses and all the rest of it. It's wild. There's 180 acres of good Connemara bog, but it's beautiful. There's lovely walks. There's lots of wildlife. You'll get your runners muddy, but you know, if you want to keep them clean, there's lots of other five-star places you can go instead.
There must be a huge temptation at some stage to say, oh, I'd love another 5 rooms, another 10 rooms. But it's amazing how you've preserved what you are and that the authenticity just jumps out at you.
It's not for us. I've no interest in adding other 5 or 50 rooms. We would like to do some lodges, that type of thing on the ground at some stage, because I don't see us being able to do what we do now in 5 years' time. I'd say that business will have gone. So we're trying to plan for that at the moment. But what we have now is a beautiful place, and with the lake, we've boats, we've paddle boards, we've saunas, we've all the rest of this, which people use all the time. And that gives people an excuse to stay there and not feel they have to go chasing around the place. But of course, Connemara is a beautiful place to go around if you want to go for a day trip.
No, absolutely. Now, just going back to the wonderful history of the founding, I suppose we're coming up to the 50th year of that wonderful institution called the Blue Book, Ireland's Blue Book. You were there at the very beginning. It must have been quite an exciting time from the stories that you've been told over the years.
You had hoteliers of a certain character back in those days. They literally had to do everything from getting up in the morning, going off collecting seafood, bringing it back so it'd be ready for breakfast, and they'd be there for lunch, they'd be there for dinner and for that evening. And all of the hoteliers would have known or heard about from their guests the other hotels that they were travelling to or coming from. And it was Bord Fáilte who suggested to them at meetings that they should get together and form an association of like-minded properties. And it was very forward-thinking at the time. A very difficult thing to do, because back then you didn't have the telephone or communication systems that you now have today. It was a great idea, and it just grew and grew and grew. And you had, as I said, you had the likes of Ballymaloe. I think Myrtle Allen was the first secretary of the association. I have some of the old minutes of the meetings from the very first meeting that they had. And you can see even when the notes were written down, they were done kind of on napkins, and they didn't have a full versed plan of what the association was going to be. They just had the idea and the concept. And then a few months later, they formed the association with a much more structured plan.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, Henry, do you ever get a chance to, are you there all the time? Is it full on the whole time? Do you ever get a chance to go on a holiday yourself?
Do you have a life?
Do you go over to Cashel House?
I've been to Cashel House. I drive around the car park in Cashel House to see how busy they are, count the cars.
Spy cam.
Exactly, yeah. See what they're up to.
In the wintertime, when it gets quieter, we might get out. But once you start the season in March, right through until
it's
the
pretty
end of
full
it, on. For any family business, I would say anybody would know it would be the same. You generally don't get outside the door.
You have to have a break some summer. Do you guys, you don't open at Christmas, I presume, or do you?
We've never done Christmas. We do quite a lot of house rentals. We'd be more seasonal now than Brian would be, but we do quite a lot of house rentals now in the winter, kind of exclusive hires of the house for various parties, family get-togethers, small weddings, that type of thing, which that gives us more free time at this time of year. But no, for 9 months of the year, it's pretty much 7 days of the week, 18-hour days.
Coming up to 2024, so like, what are the main challenges these days? I suppose it's hard to keep things fresh all the time, I know, but like I was saying, your staff, chefs, people tend to stay for a long, long time. So
we're very lucky in the sense that the team that we have been with us and built up for so many years. As I say, Ray has a fantastic team. Ray's been there for 44 years this year and he has a very good team built. But trying to get staff, we've built on, 9 new accommodations for living accommodation for staff. If we hadn't done that 3 years ago, we would have been short on staff for the last 2 years because you just cannot get local staff.
So that is what I hear all the time. You hear that now about like in Dublin, obviously, huge problem with rents, crazy, people just mad money, 4 people in a room and mad stuff like that. That must be a huge problem.
It is. And the cost of running a business from restaurants to activity suppliers to hotels, it's become more and more expensive to try and operate. You can't increase your bedrooms or your food rates by the same margins that was going up, or your clients will believe that you're increasing your rate just to try and make more profit. You're increasing your rates just to try and break even. The rates that the cashless hotel used to be able to charge back in the 80s, if you look at those rates and compare them to what's being charged now, the room rate has not gone up anywhere near to the same margin as what the expenses have. And that's kind of the balancing act. Even with 29 bedrooms, and we are a larger property than some of the smaller 8-bedroom properties, it's down to quality, it's down to trying to extend your season, because it is a very small season. If you're in the city, you have a season effectively all year round. When you're in the countryside and out in Connemara especially, you have a very seasonal market. So
you have no Taylor Swift concerts there that you can up the rate by 800.
And we don't, and I'm sure I can speak for all of the Bluebrook properties. I don't know any of them that are actually shooting their prices up. They're all being very mindful because, again, you are very mindful of your clients, which you've built up over a long period of time. You owe something to them as well. So you try and offer them the best value package that you can.
And the main trait of a Bluebrook property is personal service.
That's what I was going to ask, Henry. The repeat business is...
And if you go to anywhere that has a personal service, I always say, if you don't want to be ripped off, hand your money over to the person that owns the shop. And that's the same in most Bluebrook properties. Mm-hmm. Those people are not trying to rip people off. They are, as Brian says, they're just trying to maintain standards, have enough to pay the bills and keep going till next year. They're all long-term professional properties, businesses. They're not in it for short-term properties. They're not trying to flip their property assets. We're there because we love what we do. We love cooking. We love entertaining. We love
hosting. The passion comes across.
We love where we are and we want to stay there, but we have to make it pay. And so we are not charging anything more than we have to.
Yeah. But I think when you listen to, I use the word experience or the memory of a Bluebrook property
unique.
Or your
property.
They're
unique. You will not get the Bluebrook property will give you something unique. It could be very, very different. There is very little to compare ourselves, a small family-owned property in the west of Ireland, to some of the huge, big, beautiful estate properties that have had millions and millions of euros pumped into them. But each and every one of us is unique in our own way. And what the big properties can provide, we can compensate in other areas as well.
Yeah. Excited for the season ahead now, next year?
Oh yeah, definitely. Things are definitely looking up.
Americans are all back, I think.
The American market coming back. The UK market is the only one we're unsure of at the moment. We haven't seen any major growth there. But the French market, Belgian, Germans all seem to be on the rise. I think that it's a bit early yet to see what's going to happen with the UK market, but hopefully that will start to come back to strength as well. For us, the saving grace has been the Irish market, and the Irish market has been very, very strong over the last 2 years. And I'd say nearly 60% of our business at the moment is coming through from the home market.
Which is brilliant. Harry, that was something people discovered, of course, as well. One of the positive things, I suppose, about COVID, we discovered all places in Ireland that people didn't really know. And now we're going back again and again.
It changed our business. Before COVID, we would have been maybe 60% international, 40% Irish. The last couple of years, we have been maybe 65% Irish, 35% international. It absolutely changed our business. We seem to have picked up a lot of people who would never have come looking for us previous to that. And they found something they like and they keep coming back. And a lot of that also is through the Blue Book, through the exceptional marketing, through the product that they have, the trust guests place in the Blue Book property. And I think we all feel that we're all part of something bigger, and we all feel that we have to maintain that trust and look after the amazing uniqueness of the Blue Book product.
Yeah, Shelley and her team have done a fantastic job. They have been absolutely inundated on the phones for bookings and vouchers, and we definitely notice it in the hotels.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things. I love that about the vouchers, Brian. They never expire. So if you found one down behind the sofa from 1970 or 1975.
Spend it. Please spend it.
Spend it. Guys, it's been fabulous to talk to you this evening. And I must say, I really want to get to know Connemara better. So I'll pop over. I know you're probably all fully booked out, but I'll try and squeeze in a Sunday
There's
night
There's always
somewhere.
Space somewhere. I'll be delighted.
But thanks so much. Can I just get you, Brian, what's your website?
It's www.cashelhouse.ie.
Great.
And ours is curariva.com.
Brilliant, guys. Thanks so much for talking to us this evening
Thank
on
you.
The Sunday Show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.